Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Obergefell marriage opinion must be overturned. We're going to be talking about this case involving Kim Davis and the 10th anniversary of this 2015 opinion from the High Court. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
Well, Matt, it's hard to believe that 10 years ago, the 2015 Obergefell decision came out from the U.S. Supreme Court. And what was interesting, that Chief Justice John Roberts gave a scathing dissent in that opinion, where he says five lawyers on the U.S. Supreme Court abused their duty to interpret the Constitution and invented a so-called right to same-sex marriage. There is one, however, we have one legal case that might challenge it coming down the pike.
That's right. That is the Kim Davis case. And on the 26th day of June in 2015, 10 years ago, is when this 5-4 opinion was released by the High Court. It was on a Friday. And three of those justices are no longer on the bench. That would be Kennedy and would be Breyer and Ginsburg. They're no longer on the bench. So the only two people that were on the bench at the time in the five would be Kagan and Sotomayor.
But what a strong, almost, I'd say, insult to the justices for Chief Justice Roberts to say five lawyers have closed the debate and enacted their own vision of marriage as a matter of constitutional law. Five lawyers.
His dissent, Holly, was the strongest dissent I've ever seen in a sarcastic way against the, he doesn't even call them the majority. He calls them five lawyers. He doesn't refer to them as colleagues. He doesn't refer to this as the court's opinion or decision. He doesn't refer to them as the majority. He refers to them as five lawyers. I mean, that's pretty significant because Roberts typically likes to have collegiality, and he was very strong in his dissent. Five lawyers, he's referring to them. Five lawyers have closed the debate, he said, and enacted their own vision of marriage as a matter of constitutional law. The majority's decision is an act of will, not legal judgment. The right is announced. The right it announces has no basis in the Constitution or this court's precedent. So there he does call them the majority, but he refers to them as five lawyers. And he also really was the leading dissent. So we have three justices that are still on the bench that were part of the four dissenters. Chief Justice John Roberts with a strong dissent, Justice Thomas, and Justice Samuel Alito.
You know, it's interesting, and also talking about Roberts saying five lawyers, Justice Samuel Alito kind of comes out with his own when he says, to prevent five unelected justices from imposing their personal vision of liberty upon the American people, the court has held that liberty under the due process clause should be understood to protect only those rights that are deeply rooted in this nation's history and tradition. And it is beyond dispute that the right to same-sex marriage is not among those rights.
So here's the thing. We have substantive due process that was made up by the courts, and that was the basis for Roe versus Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey, which Dobbs overruled. There is no such thing as substantive due process. There is procedural due process. The Constitution has procedural due process. You have due process as it relates to procedure. So, for example, you have a right to be heard. You have a right to know the charge against you. So you have a right to know what the allegation or the charge is against you, and you have a right to be heard. That's procedural due process. That's basically our court system. You can't just take your property without letting you know, and then you have an opportunity to defend it, or imprison you without charging you, and you have an opportunity to defend yourself. That's procedural due process. But the justices back in the 70s, the liberal 70s of the courts, came up with this substantive due process. Substantive due process is something that is not enumerated in the Constitution, like, for example, First Amendment free speech, free exercise of religion. Those are specifically part of the enumerated provisions of the Constitution. What they refer to as substantive due process is something that they wanted to create that's not in the Constitution. So they even limited themselves to that, even though it's very broad, and they said that substantive due process would be something that is, quote, deeply rooted in the nation's history and tradition, and that such, if you did not protect it, would result in the unraveling of ordered liberty, whatever that is. Hmm. But it has to be deeply rooted in the nation's history.
So it's not constitutional, and they made it up.
It's not enumerated in the Constitution. So they made it up, and they try to figure out, well, what's deeply rooted in our nation's history, and therefore we have to protect it.
Hmm.
Well, there's a lot of grayness in that. But clearly, even if you follow that liberal thinking that was overruled in Dobbs, think about marriage as it relates to same-sex marriage. Is that deeply rooted in the nation's history and tradition? No, it's actually the opposite.
Yeah, it's actually a civil union. It's not even marriage, well, as God ordained.
The point is that it doesn't even fit their liberal substantive due process because, and that's what Alito says, it's not deeply rooted in the nation's history and tradition. In fact, it's been opposite. It's been criminalized. Sodomy was criminalized, and there was no such thing as same-sex marriage. But they invented it anyway. And so that's why Chief Justice John Roberts and Alito and Thomas were so upset. And of course, back then there was also Scalia, who was on the bench with this opinion, because it just divined it out of nowhere that there's this so-called right to same-sex marriage. And then what's happened since then is when that came down, Kim Davis was forced to make a decision. And so the very next week, the first week of July, she decided not to issue any marriage licenses, and she requested a religious accommodation. The Democrat governor refused. So she was sued by individuals who didn't even really want to get a same-sex marriage license, but they saw that she was religious and Christian, so they wanted to humiliate her, and they targeted her, and their video went viral, so they decided to continue with their charade, and they pressed to get a license from her. They could have gotten it from any other clerk. They eventually did get a license, but in the meantime, Kim Davis went to prison for 6 days. A new governor was elected, a Republican, likely over this issue of Kim Davis. That's what he attributes his election to, because he took the side of Kim Davis, Matt Bevin. In December, less than 5 months or so after this decision came down, he gives an executive order giving her a religious accommodation. So now she's got the accommodation. The next year, in April 2016, the legislature unanimously does the same for all the clerks. So now she has religious accommodation. But these two Davids, what's called Ermold versus Davis, wanted to humiliate Kim Davis. And so they came after her. And the case went up to the Supreme Court one time for something other than religious freedom. And it wasn't addressing Obergefell per se. It was addressing something called qualified immunity. And the Supreme Court wasn't interested in reviewing qualified immunity at that time. But in that situation, Justice Thomas said, the court has created a problem that only it can fix. Until then, Obergefell will continue to have ruinous consequences for religious liberty. This was in our Kim Davis case. So the case continued on, and in 2023, a jury came back and awarded $100,000 against Kim Davis personally. So she doesn't have immunity or qualified immunity. She doesn't have government protection. She's an individual. Now, with attorney's fees and costs, it's over $360,000 against Kim. So this case now, interestingly, has been going on for 10 years. This is the 10th year anniversary of Obergefell. And in just a couple weeks, we will be filing with the U.S. Supreme Court a petition asking the High Court to take the Kim Davis case. And the two main issues are, number one, religious freedom for Kim. She should have immunity. And number two, Obergefell, wrongly decided, should be overturned.
You know, you have to think that the timing of all this had a big effect on Kim's case because, you know, the Supreme Court ruled the Obergefell decision, and then right after that, these two same-sex couples said, okay, let's really push this and see if we can make this work. And sure enough, they did. So
they pushed it. And so now we're the next step continue to pray for this case, please, because we're filing our first petition, and then they'll file a response, and then we'll file a reply. Sometime in the fall, we'll know what the Supreme Court will do with this case. It's critically important they take it, that they grant religious freedom, that they overturn Obergefell. The Southern Baptist Convention recently met in their annual convention, and they passed a resolution asking their members to work to overturn Obergefell. So did Idaho also pass a resolution. Several other states are doing similar resolutions. The momentum is building. It's a matter of when, not if, Obergefell will be overturned. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/Kim. That's lc.org/Kim.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. The website again, lc.org.